welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and take a look at the word in Matthew chapter 11. This is verse 28 through 30, and it's where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wonderful passage of scripture. It's one that I've to go back to, refer to throughout my journey and walk with the Lord. And I remember there was one morning I had woke up probably about 4:30 in the morning, and it was just like, you know, I thought it was like 7 or 8 because I just felt so awake and rested. And I looked at my watch and 4:30. Really? Wow. Okay, so I got to go back to sleep. It's only 4:30. But when I woke up to these words that I kept hearing in my spirit, "Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me." And I thought, yeah, come unto me, all you who are laboring, and, you know, and I thought, that's good, and you know, you'll find rest for your souls. And I thought, that's a great scripture to go back to sleep to, you know, as I'm thinking about it. And I'm trying to kind of fall back to sleep, and those words just keep stirring in my spirit. Come unto me, come unto me. And so it's like you're kind of in bed there, wrestling a little bit, as you're kind of getting something in your heart and your mind, and it's only 4:30. By the time I'm looking at my watch now, it's almost 5 o'clock, and you know how it is, sometimes you just got to make that decision. Okay, all right, I'm awake. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm going to get up and start my day, you know. And so I just made that decision, and I, you know, wanted to start my day with a prayer walk and thought, okay, Lord, you know, if this is really something you want to get across to me, then let's go. And so it was about 5 in the morning. I just started a prayer walk, and I thought, I know the scripture I'm going to start this prayer walk with, you know, come unto me. And as I was just walking and talking and speaking the scripture to myself, all of a sudden it just really began to slow down. You know how we meditate and really think deeply about a scripture in the passage? As I'm walking, it was just that reiteration again, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest for your soul. And as I was just slowly speaking the scripture, what stuck out was, come to me, first of all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an open invitation to anybody who is heavied out, laboring, and he said, and I will give you rest. And, you know, when you think a lot of times of labor and heavy ladenness, we think of the things that cause it. Say, for example, you know, bitterness. It's labor to replay the same painful narrative over and over and over again and feel that self-inflicted pain of something. That's labor. That's heavy laden that we can experience. Fear. Fear is labor. When you're tormented, haunted by going over all the hypotheticals of everything that could go wrong over and over and over again. Condemnation, shame, reliving some dumb thing you did. It's like, oh, why? Regret. What would things be like if? Over and over and over again. These are like loops that can get in our soul and cause us to labor and get heavy in our soul. And I'm just thinking, all who labor. He doesn't qualify. He just said, if you're laboring and you're heavy laden, you got an invitation. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. it's almost like there's this exchange. Labor for his rest. And it's important to notice what he doesn't say in this passage of Scripture. He doesn't say, repent, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say that. He just says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You can tell who he's talking to by the way he's talking to this group. He's talking to people whose repenters are worn out. They're frustrated. But he's just saying, come to me. And you're going to get rest for your soul. In other words, that loop that you can't seem to break, I'm going to break it. And you're going to experience rest for your soul. That fear will be broken. Bitterness, condemnation, those loops that you can't seem to stop, I can break those. I can give you rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There will still be a yoke for your soul, but it will be easy and it will be light. It won't be the same yoke. There's a yoke of laboring and heavy ladenness. But when you come to me, you find rest for your soul. And I do love how he says it, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Sometimes we have to let ourselves see that. Like we're talking about Jesus, you know, you think of almost how he's described, you know, symbolically as the lion and the lamb. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet he's the Lamb of God, gentle, kind. He describes himself, because when you think of Jesus, I mean, now glorified, what does the scripture say? He's the only potentate. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see. To him be honor and everlasting power. That's our Jesus. And yet, meek and lowly in heart, come to me. He comes, he calls us to come to him in a way that we don't have to be afraid. What is he saying? I'm a safe place. And to see that face of our Lord, to see that kind, tender, come unto me face that's going to draw and begin again to give you rest for your soul, to begin to break some of those loops that you can't seem to stop thinking or get out of. So this morning, we're going to simply look at what we're calling an invitation to rest. It's an invitation. Nobody's forced. He will not force you. He just invites you. Come unto me. I can give you rest. You've tried to break that thing. You've tried to solve it. You've tried to problem solve it. But I can give you rest. And so this morning we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how we answer the Lord's invitation to rest. What does that look like today? Praise God. We're going to start out with a passage of scripture here in, you know, first of all, there's kind of two aspects we want to look at to answering the invitation. First of all, there's just coming to Jesus. All right, you're at that place, you're laboring, you're heavy laden, and I need that rest for my soul. What do I do? What do I do next? What Jesus said to do next, come to Jesus. Enter into that rest. The scripture tells us here in Hebrews 4, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. We see there's a rest for the people of God. And we see something very profound, that if you've entered that rest, you've ceased from your own works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Now you think, rest, it should just be a kind of a one and done, and I flip a switch and I'm at rest. No, you're going to come unto him, you're going to enter into his rest, and there will be a diligence to enter into that rest. There's a diligence. In fact, when you very first, you know, make the decision. Okay, I'm going to answer the call. Lord, I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to just like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'm going to choose the one thing that's necessary that won't be taken away from me. I'm choosing that right now. And you're coming from that place of, you know, heavy ladenness and laboring in your mind. You come to that place. It's amazing how in that inflection point, you can go from the most procrastinating type person to all of a sudden a diligent, busy bee working of the things that I need to do. All of a sudden, when you come to that place of, okay, I really need to get this done and this done and this done and this done before I take this time to really get quiet before the Lord. There is a pull that we experience. And I've had that happen before too. It's like I'm describing my office. I've got two chairs, kind of my work chair and my devotion chair. And when I make that move, that diagonal move from my work chair to my devotion chair, all of a sudden my mind will go, okay, and I could do this and this and this and this. And then once I check all these boxes, then I can really have some quality time with the Lord. No, that's not how it works. God isn't here with just an invitation for rest. He is here with an interruption for your rest. In other words, we interrupt this broadcast. We interrupt these loops that are going on. We interrupt these places that I just can't. We interrupt them. There's a diligence to interrupt them on purpose. And all of a sudden, these things that I feel like this big noble thing that I got to be able to do first before I can do this. Nope, I don't have to. I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere here, Lord. This is the most important thing, is to come unto you. It's more important than anything else. You know, Jesus said, you know, unless you esteem me higher than father, mother, brother, sister, wife, I can't disciple you. There is a priority of heart when you come unto him and you say, this is the most important thing. I'm taking time to come unto you, Lord. And something comes to your mind. Nope, I'm going to lay that down. And all of a sudden, this anxious thought and this thing, nope, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I am coming unto him. What am I doing? I'm ceasing from my labors. And it's amazing when you get into that place where you get into the presence of God and you begin to sense his presence, the very same thing looks very different when you're in the spirit than when you were in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, you can get worked up over something. You begin to get in the spirit. You begin to get in the presence of God. You just lay one thing down, keep laying things down one at a time. You could be doing this. You could be doing this. I'm not going to be doing anything. I am coming unto him. There has to be a diligence and an intentionality about saying, no, Lord, I'm coming unto you. I'm going to find rest for my soul. I'm looking unto you, and I'm going to receive what you have for me. But there is that intentional ceasing from your own labors. And it is pretty cool when you get in that sense of the Spirit, and all of a sudden that same thought comes back, and it's like, oh, that's work. I don't want to do that. But there's a place where you begin to lay some things down. So you cease from your own works. You're diligent to enter into that rest. What am I doing? I'm taking some time. And I'm saying, Lord, I am looking unto you. I'm coming unto you. And this is the same passage of Scripture. We're just kind of reading it through. This is Hebrews 9, 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Passion said, there's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before the eyes to whom we must render an account. What are we talking about here, too, as we're coming unto Jesus? We're talking about disarming. We're talking about getting into that place where our heart is open, our mind is open. Because so many times we can be defensive about, you know, with each other, we can be defensive to God. But to realize that, you know, I'm laboring, I'm heavy laden, I've got some things that I don't know, that I don't understand. What does that mean? From my view, I can't see everything that I need to see. I'm in a sense a mystery to myself. There's things that I don't fully know how are going to work out and different things like that. But the cool, disarming thing to me is the fact that I'm not a mystery to God. He sees me perfectly. In other words, I'm coming unto him, and he has a perfect view of all my stuff. He sees everything that I see. He says he sees everything that I don't see. And he still says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He's not going to be critical. He's not going to be judgmental. He's not going to be harsh. He's going to be meek, and he's going to be lowly in heart. What am I talking about? I'm talking about faith to come unto him. Just having faith that I can go in that direction and be diligent to stay in that direction. And as things come to my mind or try to distract me, I can say, no, I am going to cease from those mental labors, and I'm going to enter into your rest. I'm coming unto the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful. It describes the Word of God. That's the written Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. But you see that it has an ability. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When I'm coming unto Jesus, when I'm coming unto the Lord, I'm coming unto him in prayer, but I'm also coming unto his Word. I'm coming unto the Word of God. I'm coming unto the Scriptures. I'm coming unto the Word of God that is powerful and is able to sort me out. You know, it can organize, you know, the thoughts. It's able to discern division between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It helps me to understand myself, to see myself from the perspective of the Word of God. And so as I'm looking at, you know, just the Word of God, coming under the Word of God, and this is where, you know, you got a few scriptures. Man, pull out some of your favorite. This is where in my coming unto Jesus, I like to pull out some of my favorite scriptures. You know, Psalm 1 is one of my favorites. You know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted. You know, some of those scriptures that you can begin to think about, meditate on. But I got this serious problem, and I got that serious problem, and I got this big thing. What am I doing? I'm just coming unto Jesus. I'm coming unto the Word. Do you understand? This passage, it's pretty an amazing passage. The Word of God is living and powerful. That word is logos, the written Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. And then in the middle of the sentence, it changes the person of the Word. It's the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Talking about the Word of God, from the logos, the written Word, to Jesus. Nothing's hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We see the Word of God. When you're coming into those scriptures, it is a way that you're coming unto Jesus. You're coming unto the Word of God. And he'll begin to speak to you, minister to you by the Word of God. What are we talking? We're talking, go in the direction. I'm coming unto Jesus. I'm coming unto him. And as I'm doing that, I'm beginning to cease from my own works. And so finally, as we look at coming unto Jesus, we realize that there's a throne of grace. Seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And again, what is this all part of? This is all part of the same thing of coming unto Jesus. Now you'll notice it. We're coming unto the throne of grace. This is not a judgment seat. We're not coming unto a place of judgment. We're coming to a throne of grace. What a beautiful name for a throne. A throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when I'm doing this, when I'm coming unto Jesus, I see that. I'll come to him. Those three things. I'm intentionally saying no to distracting thoughts. I'm saying, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. You're the Lord of my life. There's nothing more important that I have to do right now than this. And I'm coming unto you, Lord. I'm laboring. I'm heavy laden. And I need rest for my soul. And I just look to you, Father God. And as thoughts are coming, I'm intentionally ceasing from those works. I'm giving myself permission to not have to go there. Praise God. And as I give myself permission to not have to go there, the Lord honors that. And I find that as I do that, it gets easier and easier and easier to where all of a sudden the presence of God just begins to shift. There is a sense of the presence of God. I'm going there with the Word of God. I'm going there with the Scriptures. I'm going there with things that I know are true about God. I'm going in the direction of him. I'm coming unto him. And I'm coming before that throne of grace where I'm there to receive mercy and find grace to help. I love, again, we looked at the opening scripture, you know, where it says, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He doesn't say repent. all you who are laboring. He says, come unto me. Why? Because this is where you will get grace. You actually get grace to repent. You get grace to see through a spirit of fear. You get grace to overcome and receive a fresh revelation of the forgiveness and the cleansing of Jesus Christ. But there are things that you come to him at that throne of grace, and there's grace to help. He won't just say, repent from that, you know, or he'll begin to give you a path of righteousness. He'll begin to give you a straight path. It's not just shame on you, you know better than that. He'll begin to show you a path forward from that. It's not just repent, it's here's the way. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul, and then he leads you into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But this throne of grace is a place where we're restoring our soul, where we're finding rest for our soul. And a lot of times in our relationship with God, it can be like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, there's some times that we've got to lie down. We got to get our soul restored. What happens here? This is where we get ears to hear the stuff we can't hear when we're laboring and heavy laden. That's why God is saying, first things first, you got to come unto me. There's an invitation to rest. This is not an invitation to problem solve. This is an invitation to make Jesus the most important thing in our lives and say, Lord, I have time for you. There's a song that we sing, I think, called Make Room. Just making room. Making room for God. It's your number one, Lord. I make room for you. Do whatever you want to do. I'm laying aside these things. You can have your way. It is pretty wonderful. Sometimes you just get in here and you just hear his voice again. You get a word from the Lord. You get a scripture. You get something of the Spirit. It's from here. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Disarm. This is where you're disarmed, where you're vulnerable again to the Spirit of God. We all have our spiritual histories. We all have our why God questions. We all have our things and our post-traumatic spiritual stuff that could make us vulnerable. And this is where you say, nope, I'm coming back again. I'm ceasing from my own labors. I believe you're good again. I return to my first love again, and I'm coming back to a throne of grace where I'm vulnerable on purpose again. You can speak to me, and I'm not afraid what you're going to say because you're meek and you're lowly in heart. Whatever you're going to say, you're going to say the truth in love. I love that. There are times when we're wrong and we need to be corrected. And God will tell you you're wrong in a way that you'll say, yeah, I see it. I am wrong. Praise God. It can be the most liberating, freeing thing sometimes. I'm wrong. Sometimes it could be the missing link. Sometimes you don't know. It's just some things. You can see it. It's like, wow, praise God. Thanks, I needed that. But he does it in a very sweet, loving way, right? He does it in a way that it's not condemnation. But all, his promise is that I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Disarm. I remember one of the pictures that I've got of just disarming is just we've had puppy dogs growing up and just seeing your puppy dog. Sometimes when you come home, so happy to see you and so excited and just kind of lowly and meek and, you know, just this. But when you see your puppy dog that way, it's like, it's so disarming. You're not afraid of its strength or intellect. It's just, I love you and there's affection and come unto me and pet me and hug me and, you know, love on me. That sweet disarming thing. I remember one time my kids coming home from school and it was just same ritual over and over again. They'd all come trouncing through the door, all four of them, and our dog Sam would just be all excited to see them, and just it was just every time at, you know, 3:30. And I just remember the Lord just speaking to my heart, just like, man, Ed, if you could only believe that I'm half as excited as your dog is to see your kids, you'd have no problem coming into me. Again, Jesus is the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light. We don't take away from who he is, but he self-describes himself as meek and lowly and approachable. That's why tax collectors and sinners could hang around him when he was on the earth. They couldn't hang around the Pharisees. They had an air of superiority that drove them up, and yet he's God in the flesh, and he didn't have that air. He still doesn't have that air. Praise God. He's still approachable for us. And realize that, okay, it's all right. I can disarm. I can be vulnerable. You know, I like how There's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. You could say there's not one person who can hide their hand from God. Me coming and being vulnerable to him is not about him finding out what's in my hand. He knows what's in my hand. It's simply about me laying the cards down. And there's something very freeing about that. There's something beautiful about that, where now I'm putting the ball in his court. I'm letting him know some things. So it kind of brings us to where we kind of want to go in the second point, and that is simply fellowship with Jesus. So there's a coming unto him where there's a disarming. We have to disarm. We've got to begin to lay some things down, just make him the first and most important thing, to cease from our own works, to realize he already knows what's in our hand, and realize that it's a throne of grace, mercy and grace to help. There's forgiveness and there's help. That's what's there. It's not judgment. He knows there's stuff. He knows there's issues. But it's okay. I can come unto him. I can come into that place, that quiet time, and I can stay there. Diligently stay there until some things begin to change. And that just kind of leads us to fellowship with Jesus. Okay, we're there. All right? And so as we look at this, this is an invitation that Jesus gives to the church in the book of Revelation. He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Man, I'll tell you what, a lot of those, there's some corrections and disciplines that come from that labor and heavy ladenness, just being clear, keeping it real. And as you come, he says, so be diligent to turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Praise God. Now, I just want to qualify this too. You know, when we're talking about laboring and heavy laden, and finding rest for our souls, and where Jesus said he's a sympathetic high priest. Now, I'll just go back there one quick. I want to finish one thought here, where he says he's able to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling. Now, we've talked about the carry in the situation of fear and bitterness and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's never sinned. He never missed it. But yet we know that he knows the pull. He has a shared feeling with the temptation to be afraid, the temptation to be bitter, the temptation to do the loop. All right, he didn't. Praise God. He overcame it. But there was a time when we find that his soul was heavy unto death. And what did Jesus do? When his soul was heavy unto death, he went unto the Father. It's like the Father is saying, come unto me, Jesus. And he comes unto him and says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will be done, but your will be done. What is Jesus doing? His soul is laboring, and Jesus is heavy laden. And he's coming out of the Father, and he's praying. He's making himself vulnerable to the Father. He prays that three times. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And it said after the third time, an angel came and ministered to him and strengthened him. In fact, Jesus found rest for his soul in such a profound way that shortly after this place, he's standing before Pilate. And he's so quiet, he's so chill, that Pilate's offended. He said, don't you realize I got the power to crucify you? You're not even saying anything, you're just like standing there? And Jesus said, you'd have no power over me except that it had been given to you. It's like Pilate was offended that Jesus wasn't laboring and heavy laden in the moment. He was so at rest. Jesus found rest for his soul. He's experienced the emotional sense of heavy lightness. He has a shared feeling with that, and he never sinned. Important to realize that. We go through these things. So when Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Now we're talking about fellowship. Okay, we've come under there. Now we're going to just kind of get into the talking, having a little talk with Jesus, where we begin to talk and begin to share some things from our heart. But I love the picture that we get. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in. We'll share a meal together as friends. Now, when we think of sharing a meal together, a lot of times we might just say, hey, we got to do lunch sometime. Let's do coffee or whatever. You know, it's not about the lunch. It's not about the coffee. It's about the getting together and hanging out, fellowshipping. That's what this is about. It's not about food. It's about fellowship. It's about hanging out. And a lot of times we can hear that knock. And again, we can think, oh no, this room's dirty and this room is dirty and this room is dirty. Again, it's a knock, it's an invitation. And it's an interruption. And we have to let ourselves be interrupted with dirty rooms and all. Letting him come in We're going to fellowship around a table. It won't be mercy and grace to help. But to see that word picture, as I'm going there and I'm staying there. We can all, and I have many times, have a devotion time, check my box, I did that, great. But I'm going here to find rest for my soul. And I'm believing I'm going to find rest for my soul. I believe that there's something that's going to change this time as I stay there. And as I let him come in that room. And again, I might think, my rooms are messy and I don't really have a lot to, I don't even have a much of a meal to share with the Lord. You know, I might have, like I said, I might have a scripture and I've got a few prayer requests. That's my meal. That's okay. You get what you got. And you begin to give him what you got. And he will multiply the loaves and the fish. He'll multiply those things that you begin to say. And he'll help you get what's in your heart out. I love the way he described it this way as it relates to prayer. I think this is the message. He says, when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. This is what begins to happen as we begin to choose to stay there, as we answer that door. It's faith. This is not a canned prayer. I'm just beginning to go a place and begin to speak out of what's in my heart. I'm beginning to tell him, to praise him, to just say, Lord, help me, lead me, guide me, show me. This is where you're just as simply as you can. And this is where another scripture just dovetails with this so beautifully. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is the sweet spot to do that. Just empty your heart right here before the throne of grace and just begin to tell God, get God what's in your, you know, getting what's in your heart out in prayer to God. This is part of that rest. This is part of the exchange. You're coming in one way, heavy laden, and you're going to leave another way with rest for your souls. And this is what's happening in between right here. This is where you're finding that there's a safe, sweet place, and where you begin to express your heart, tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done, intentionally be thankful for what you do have. And again, I get that picture of Jesus. You think he's got those few loaves and fishes, and what does he do? He gives thanks to the Father for the loaves and the fish that he has. God multiplies those. This is also, man, I'm laboring, I'm heavy laden. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand, but you know what? There's some things I do know. I know God does love me. I do know that I have heaven as my home. I do know that he cares about me. And to begin to thank God for what you do know, having that heart, that grateful heart, then you will begin to experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You can see that. Come unto me, find rest for your souls. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything, then you'll experience God's peace. There is an absolute coming to Jesus where we begin to fellowship with him, begin to experience his peace. Then he goes on to say, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about those things that are excellent, worthy of praise. You know, as I was going on that walk that I started out with, the message today, just going on that prayer walk with that scripture, come unto me, I was just beginning to pray. I was going through that verse, and all of a sudden, in my walk with the Lord, I'm just hitting that sweet spot, and I'm just beginning to talk with him. I'm just beginning to share what's in my heart. I'm sensing his presence. It's like we're sitting at the table. It's like in my mind's eye, I could see me and Jesus sitting at the table, sharing a meal together. What is that really? It's me just sharing my heart and having a listening ear. You know, if you don't know that he's meek and lowly in heart, if you don't know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, you won't listen. You'll stop your ears spiritually. Part of being vulnerable and getting that place of vulnerability, it opens your ears to give you ears to hear. There's a lot of things that, God, show me. And he could say it on volume 10, but because of distraction and fear and anxiety, we don't have ears to hear. That place of vulnerability just gives us ears to hear. Oh, that's right, God is a safe place again. I can open my ears. What are you saying, Lord? And I can listen. I can trust. He's meek. He knows me. He knows my frame. In fact, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, there's things I'd like to tell you right now, but you're not able to bear them. He knows what we're able to bear. He knows what I can hear. He knows that next step. And all of a sudden, I get to that place where I have that vulnerability and confidence. So I'm sitting, I'm hanging at the table with Jesus in my mind's eye. I'm walking down the road. I'm kind of walking toward the end of Highland Road there, just about ready to get to the end. I can just see it vividly clear in my mind, and it's just like, sweet. It's just, we're hanging out, we're having this cool meal together, and oh, it's like I'm already in this place of rest for my soul. You know what I mean? It's not answers to your problem. It's just rest for your soul. The loop broke. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm hanging out. I'm not mad anymore. I'm at peace. I'm enjoying a meal. This is how this whole thing started. Lord, I just want to stay here. This is the whole point. You know, and so as I'm walking, I'm seeing that all of a sudden, this is crazy. I know it's not, but as I'm doing this, all of a sudden I get this thought. And it is a forceful, it's like a angry thought that comes against my mind. And I'm thinking, what? That doesn't fit. Why in the world? In the middle of this. And all of a sudden, as I had that thought, I'm seeing that little picture of me and Jesus at the meal. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm hanging out, we're having a meal together. And that angry thought registers as another knock on the door. And when I saw that picture, I'm in fellowship with the Lord, and I'm seeing that in my mind's eye. And all of a sudden, I get this kind of out of the blue angry thought, and in my mind, it registers as another knock on the door. All of a sudden, Jesus just in my little mini vision as I'm having that, I can see Jesus just looking at me. He doesn't say anything, but he's looking at me as like, are you going to get that? Are you going to get that? And I realize I got a decision to make. Now, the Lord loves me. Even if I get up from the table and say, oh, this is so good. I feel so good. I got it from here. And I go and go back and get the door and go back to the old way of things. He still loves me. But he can't fellowship. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. If I'm going to commune with this, because you got to realize, when you're in that sweet spot, there are things that don't like you there. They don't want you sitting at that table with Jesus. There's a victim complex that's banging on the door and saying, come back out here. Come on. I know you. I really know you better anyway. I really know you. And all of a sudden, you got to say, am I going to get the door and feel sorry for myself all over again? Or am I going to just not? Am I going to stay at the table with Jesus? Or fear. What are you wasting your time? Think about this. This is going to happen. You know it's going to happen. What am I going to do? Am I going to stay? Am I going to get the door? And I remember Jesus just looking at me. He didn't say a thing, but he was looking at me like, are you going to get that? And I remember it right there. I'm in prayer and saying, no, I'm not going to get that. That the thought came, what was I doing? In a sense, I was casting down an imagination and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's kind of what we would say theologically. But in my picture, it was just like, I'm not going to get that door. Same thing. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. There's healing here. There's change here. There's things that God, there's the healing of the brokenhearted that takes place here. And we've got a choice to stay there, to stay with him. Here's what the scripture, here's just a beautiful contrast, I think, of the two wisdoms. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. This knock is not from him. But it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above, the stuff that we're sitting around having coffee and lunch with, is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. It doesn't answer that door. Come on. This is where we find rest for our souls. Not vindication. Not answers, not rest for our soul. Just a little time with Jesus. Some time that we hang out with him. I love that. And you know what? This is a sweet, like a balm. And this isn't even a forever place. I mean, we're always in fellowship with the Lord forever. But as it relates to heavy ladenness, to rest for our souls, then we get ears to hear what God wants us to do. And it's not just a matter of getting refreshed and healed up. Now we get march. We got wisdom. We got direction from this place, that wisdom. We get wisdom from above. We get a straight path. You know, scripture says, you know, make straight paths for your feet so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. You get those straight path wisdom in some of these places. I can walk free from this. I can walk forward from this. I got a path forward here that I get from fellowship with God. There's a lot of things that you can begin to work out with the Lord too, because you could get a knock. You could get a knock of bitterness. Say, do you remember what they did to you? And as you're sitting around the table, say, yeah, I do remember what they did, but I also remember what Jesus did for me too. He died for my sins. And the same blood that covers my wicked, evil, manipulative, horrible things that I've done, my sin, has also covered their sin. I've forgiven even as God in Christ has forgiven me. Sometimes you're sitting around that table and you don't get that door. When you don't get that door, then Jesus has an opportunity to talk to you a little bit about that knock at the door by his word and by his spirit. And all of a sudden that knock sounds a little different. All of a sudden it's like, yeah, wow, man, I've been on that loop, but what's happened? The loop is breaking. He'll begin to show you some things. This is where your personal relationship with Jesus is personal, and he'll begin to show you some things individually. I can't address all that, but that's where it's sweet between you and him. He'll begin to show you some things. He'll begin to guide you in some of those different ways. But we got to realize those two wisdoms as we're sitting around the table to realize and recognize it. And finally, I love the, this is one, also one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. He lets me rest. He leads me beside peaceful streams. I'm not going right to the paths. I'm going to the rest. From the place of rest, I get the wisdom for the paths. I get the path forward. My repenter isn't worn out anymore. I'm finding rest for my soul, and I'm going on a straight path. Does that translate to repentance? You better believe it does. I have repented, but I repented through him. I came unto him. I found grace to help. And in that grace to help, he gave me the strength that I need to do that new path and to go that new direction. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about how one of the ways that we get filled up in the Spirit is speaking spiritual songs. I want to go ahead and speak a spiritual song. This one really ministered to me when I was first a believer. It goes like this. He's brought me here where things are clear and trials turn to gold. He shared with me his victory he won in days of old. Oh, Lord, I don't deserve the riches of your word, but you've changed my filthy rags to linen white as snow. The view from here is nothing near to what it is for you. I've tried to see your plan for me, but I only acted like I knew. Oh, Lord, forgive the times I tried to read your mind, because you said if I'd be still, then I would hear your voice. My Lord, my King, my urge to sing and praise the things above. No words can say the glorious way you've changed me with your love. He's brought me low so I could know the way to reach the heights, to forsake my dreams, my self-esteem, and give up all my rights. With each one I lay down, with each door I refuse to answer, a jewel's placed in my crown, because his love and the things above is all we'll ever need. He's brought me here where things are clear and trials turn to gold. I've come into those places, and I've stayed in those places, and I've come out of those places, and I don't always know exactly what I'm going to do next, but I know I got to rest for my soul, and I'm not afraid of what's next because I'm not heavied out anymore. I'm there with grace to help. I'm ready for whatever that next thing is. Come unto me. There's an invitation to enter into that rest, to disarm, to realize he knows everything, and it's a process to disarm. I wish you could flip a switch, but sometimes you're just laying things down and saying, okay, here we go. Honestly, as I know, to be in your presence. Let that shift go from you to the grace of God, and then just begin to share your heart. Praise God. Stay there and then listen. Have ears to hear what he's going to say. Don't have to be afraid. He's meek and lowly in heart. If there's anyone who knows how to speak the truth in love, it's your Lord at the throne of grace with your stuff and whatever it is you're heavy laden about. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we just thank you this morning that there is this invitation to rest, a place that we can come and find rest for our souls. We thank you that you are able to break the loop, Father, where we can have the ability, a spirit of a sound mind, to where we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry, but that we can put everything in our heart at your feet. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come unto you. You're a safe place. You see all the cards in my hand. You know exactly why I am laboring and heavy laden. I'm so glad you know. And I pray right now Help me to get what's in my heart out to you in prayer, to take that time to find rest for my soul, to believe there is rest for my soul. Every loop broken in the name of Jesus, replaced with your yoke, sitting at a meal with you, fellowshipping with you, letting the door knock, and let those knocks grow faint as I fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. I just trust that there is something there. You know, we're kind of on a series of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going in that direction. I kept getting pulled back. So I just believe that for some reason, this is what we needed for this morning. So, and I know that this is also part of a work of the Spirit called the Spirit of a Sound Mind. Because as you begin to pull into the Lord and walk and stir up the things of the Spirit, that ability to think right, to think clearly. And that's what you're doing when you're laying those things down and you're ceasing from your own labors and you're coming before the Lord, you're stirring up the Spirit of God. There's a Holy Spirit strength of a sound mind that helps you get what's in your heart out, that helps you see that path forward. So receive that this morning. Praise God.